unfiltered.
I'm not sold. I'm sorry.
Unapologetic.
I'm not trying to talk about them.
Unlike anyone else.
But knowing y'all.
Y'all will probably make me.
This is the Stephen A. Smith Show.
What's up, everybody? Welcome to the latest edition of the Stephen A. Smith Show, coming at you as I love to do every weekday from 1 to 3 p.m. Eastern Standard Time over the airways of SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio, Channel 82. The number to call up, as always, is 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's 888-623-3646. Again, 888-MAD-DOG-6, 888-623-3646. Of course, if you want to send in your voicemail messages, just so you can leave me a voicemail message, you could always go to SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Just make sure they're not boring. Make sure you put some bass in your voice. Make sure you sound like you want to leave a voicemail message. Don't sound like you're just waking up. Don't sound like you're boring. Don't disrupt and minimize the momentum of my show, because I don't like that. All right? I don't like that at all. So make sure if you're going to leave a voicemail message, or even if you're going to call, you're not wasting my damn time. Let's be very, very clear about that. Okay? This is obviously where I'm going with this. I'm not as hyped as I was yesterday for obvious reason. The New York Yankees lost. The New York Yankees have lost again. The drought of a World Series championship has now reached 16 years, the second longest in the tenure of the most storied franchise in sports annals. And I'm not happy about it at all, but I'm not going to lie to you. I'm not going to front. As excited as I was about what they did in Game 3, the reality was is that we all knew that the Yankees were the inferior team. The Toronto Blue Jays had had their way with the New York Yankees for the better part of this season. Yankees were going to have to go back to Toronto for a Game 5 had they won a Game 4, a series deciding Game 5, a place in which they were 1-8 this year. So that definitely didn't bode well for them. And then I'm looking at the rest of their squad. I'm looking at everybody. I'm looking at a guy in Aaron Judge who was absolutely fantastic. I mean, you talk about somebody that really, really redeemed himself and changed the narrative on his career considering how he performed this postseason. 9-for-15, batting .600 with 5 runs, a homer, 6 RBIs, and only 3 strikeouts in the series against the Toronto Blue Jays. But the rest of the Yankees batted .207. The rest of the Yankees batted .207. This is what it comes down to. Judge reached base 18 times and only made 13 outs in 7 games this postseason. That's fantastic. Now, this is a man that had entered October batting .205 lifetime in the postseason. But that was not the case, considering how he played against the Red Sox and the Blue Jays. You got to tip your cap to him. You got to pay homage to him. You got to give him his props. The Jays, however, went 11-6 against the Yankees this year. 8-5 in the regular season, and obviously 3-1 in the ALDS. Vladimir Guerrero Jr., all right, .529 batting average, 5 runs, 3 homers, 9 RBIs, 1 strikeout. This was in the ALDS. The man batted .529. So no matter how great Aaron Judge was, he wasn't Vladimir Guerrero Jr. He just wasn't. Remember, he had just signed a 14-year, $500 million deal. So brother's getting paid and showed that he deserved it. We thought that this was going to be a bullpen game for the Blue Jays, which it was. And we thought that since Slitler came out there to pitch for the New York Yankees, considering how he had 12 strikeouts and pitched the gem against the Boston Red Sox, that we were hopeful that his performance would be even better this go-round. It wasn't, but it wasn't like it was his fault. He wasn't awful. He only gave up a couple of runs. If it wasn't for that error by Jazz Chisholm, all right, that ultimately led to the Toronto Blue Jays scoring 2 additional runs, the Yankees would have been down 2-1. And remember, they had the bases loaded in the 8th. I mean, you just look at the opportunities that they had that they ended up squandering. And, you know, what do you say? What do you say? They were not the better team, but they still should have made this a better series. As far as I'm concerned, it should have went to 5 games. And the fact that it did not go to 5 games should be telling us something that we should be thinking about when it comes to these New York Yankees. That's just the way that I'm looking at it. And the Yankees were healthy. Meanwhile, Bo Bichette, I mean, he was going to all-star shortstop for the Blue Jays. He was gone. He didn't play in this series. So I'm just looking at it, and I'm saying, how do you lose this game? But we all know. Because in the end, pitching wins it all for you. And because you got to be able to hit. You can't score against somebody. You ain't going to be able to win. And sure enough, the Yankees struggled to score. Remember, the first 20 innings of this series, they had gotten outscored 29-9. So I don't sit here and take any enjoyment in talking about this. I'm pretty pissed off, to be quite honest with you. But I'm not shocked. Because in the end, I know in my heart of hearts that the better team won. And then I tell you where I get upset. This is where it really, really bothers me, though. Schlittler, you know, didn't showcase the same dominance like I told y'all before with his, you know, the way that he did against in the wild card clincher against the Boston Red Sox when he pitched 8 scoreless innings and registered 12 strikeouts. All right. But he pitched well enough for the Yankees to win game 4 last night. He only allowed 2 earned runs, like I told you. All right. On 8 hits, no walks and 6 1/3 innings. That's not bad. That is not bad. Not at all. And we got to pay attention to that. We got to be honest about that. Here's where we should be pissed off. Freed, Mr. $218 million mine, Max Freed. 8th highest paid starting pitcher in all of baseball at $27.25 million per year. Carlos Rodon, all right, at $27 million per year. Ranked 8th and 10th, respectively, in highest paid pitchers in Major League Baseball. Postseason starts with the Yankees. Rodon now has 6. The man is 1-2 with a 6.92 ERA. 6.92 ERA. That's not good. By the way, let's not forget this either. Games 1 and 3 against Toronto, the Yankees received a total of 8 combined innings from their starting pitchers. Lewis Hill, Max Fried, and Carlos Rodon. Their combined ERA was 16.88. And when I see that, that brings me back to Mr. Brian Cashman. Because constructing this roster matters. How you construct this roster matters. We're going to look at the manager, Aaron Boone, 8 seasons with the Yankees as the manager, 7 postseason appearances, 3 American League Championship Series, and a 2024 World Series berth, but no World Series title. In Boone's tenure, the Yankees have the 3rd most regular season wins. Dodgers are 1st, the Astros are 2nd, all right? And the 3rd most postseason wins. Astros are 1st, Dodgers are 2nd. But the Yankees are the team without a World Series championships. Now, we know about the Astros and their trash can controversy and all of that, but the bottom line is they walked away with a chip. The Yankees haven't. And I'm looking at Aaron Boone right now, and I'm just, again, baseball's different because you never know who's making the decisions these days. Yeah, he might make one decision, but then the decision might come from the general manager Cashman or their analytics department that they rely upon, etc. A lot of stuff has changed in baseball, and that's something that I can't wait to talk to Commissioner Rob Manfred about, who's going to be on the show today. I can't wait to talk to him because I think he's done a hell of a job. I think he's done a hell of a job with Major League Baseball. I think baseball is more compelling and more interesting than ever. As much as we love the long ball, you don't have to rely on it to see great baseball. And I give a lot of credit where credit is due. I'm really, really fond of Commissioner Rob Manfred, and I can't wait to talk to him about these playoffs. Make no mistake about it. But right now, the Yankees are on my mind because of how they lost this series. And then don't get me started with the hitting. Don't get me started with Mr. Volpe going for like 1-for-15. I'm just looking for his numbers right now to make sure I'm reminded of that. I mean, come on, I got to get better than that. And that certainly did not happen. And then you look at the Yankees, game 4 hitting, 1-for-6 with runners in scoring position. Left 10 men on base, stranded 8 runners over the final 4 innings. 8 runners over the final 4 innings. Jet. Damn it. I'm just upset. Volpe, 1-for-15 with 11 strikeouts in the series against Toronto. 1-for-15 with 11 strikeouts in 4 games against the Toronto Blue Jays. I'm going to say it one more time, fellas. 1-for-15 with 11 strikeouts. I mean, damn, I could do that. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Cody Bellinger, Ben Rice, Jazz Chisholm, Trent Grisham, all hit below 190 in the series. That home run and bat flip by Chisholm was spectacular in game 3. Special. But outside of that, what did he do? In that era, was big time. How about Giancarlo Stanton? 7 home runs and 16 RBIs in 14 games last postseason. This year, he goes homerless between both series for the first time in 7 postseasons with the New York Yankees. Homerless. Homerless. What do you say? 888-MAD-DOG-6 is always the number to call. It's 888-623-3646. You're listening live to the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. There's a lot to get into today. The Yankees will be one of them. The Dodgers and the Phillies will be another because Schwarber showed up last night. My God, did you see that blast where he hit the scoreboard in right field? I mean, it would have went out to the parking lot, out the damn stadium if it didn't get stopped. I mean, this brother's mammoth. He's a monster. And that's how you're supposed to show up when you're a cat that drops 56 home runs, hits 56 home runs in a regular season. You're supposed to show up in the postseason to make sure you remind them who the hell you are. And that's what Schwarber did last night. Still down 2-1 to the Dodgers. Dodgers still look like a superior team, but it's not like the Phillies are incapable of forcing a game five. You lose games 1 and 2, okay, in Philly. You go to Chavez Ravine and you win the way that you did, 8-2. If you win this next game tonight, I mean, you force a game five back on your home turf in Philly. And I'm telling you right now, the Dodgers, I mean, Shohei Ohtani, Mookie, you know, I mean, Betts and everybody. Listen, the Dodgers are clearly the team to beat. But the Phillies are no slouches. And they can make some things happen. So it's going to be real interesting to see what happens. But it's getting very interesting. We can't ignore it. And we can't act like, I can't sit there and act like just because my Yankees are going that the playoffs are not interesting. Because they are. Because they are. Everybody showed up except the Yankees. So that's something we got to pay the consideration to. Let me transition to another subject. And this subject is going to be about college football. It's going to be about Bill Belichick. It just feels like it's time to eulogize him. Somebody needs to say it, so I'm going to say it. It feels like it's time to eulogize him. Bill Belichick was a great football coach. He's a 6-time champion as a head coach. He's an 8-time champion overall because he won 2 as a defensive coordinator with the New York Giants, Bill Parcells, Lawrence Taylor era, all of that stuff. Won 6 championships as the head coach of the New England Patriots coaching Tom Brady. And obviously Bill Belichick did a lot, and Tom Brady knows that. This is not to act like Bill Belichick has forgotten football and doesn't know what he's doing. That's not what this is. This is about the fact that he's coaching a program. He has no talent. He hasn't recruited. You know, there's been 70 new players transferred and, you know, all of this other stuff. We got that part too. But they just don't look good. They don't look connected. And then you got to start looking at his hiring, his staff that he put together, engaging in nepotism and NFL folks that you're comfortable with as opposed to ideal college folks that could go out there and recruit for you and can really help you oversee a football program on a collegiate level. So naturally, reports circulated that he was in talks with the University of North Carolina about lessening his buyout and making it easier for him to leave and all of this other stuff. And Bill Belichick, in concert with the athletic director for North Carolina and the school, basically said, I'm fully committed to UNC football and the program we're building here. That's what he's saying. Well, that doesn't mean that you haven't negotiated a lesser buyout. That doesn't mean that you're not going to leave. North Carolina Athletic Director Bubba Cunningham writes, Coach Belichick has the full support of the Department of Athletics and University. So, you ain't going to abandon him just yet. That would be incredibly embarrassing. And you don't want to do that. You know you don't want to do that. What's going on right now, what's obviously taking place right now, is a situation where, hey, the program stinks. The players ain't that attractive. It's existed, meaning the program, since 1953. And they have 5 ACC conference championships in 70-plus years. 72, I believe. Think about that for a second. You've been around since 1953. And you've brought, and the program has gotten 5 conference titles. I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, that is far from impressive. Then let's take it a step further. Not only is that the reality, Bill Belichick comes there, and opening night, you got Michael Jordan in attendance. You got Lawrence Taylor in attendance. And y'all stink up the joint. That's what happened. That's truly, truly what happened. If we're totally being honest about it. And we can't ignore this kind of stuff because it's just facts. It's facts and it's inescapable. You don't get to get around it. So it's really not about North Carolina football because we didn't expect much from them anyway. It's about the fact that you're hearing about parents complaining. You're hearing about students complaining. You're hearing about complaints about Belichick's coaching staff, how things are being run. This is not good. This is not good at all. Now, I believe that totally Bill Belichick didn't have a job waiting for him in the NFL once he departed from the New England Patriots because you got a lot of young bloods that are GMs now and running football operations for an NFL franchise. And they're like, what the hell are we going to be able to tell Bill Belichick? If I hire him and I bring him on board, I'm not going to be able to tell him anything. Why would I want to put myself in that kind of predicament? That's probably why he didn't get a job. That was before. Now he's not going to get a job because the luster has drastically dimmed. You were the man when Tom Brady was there. You were seen as the guy that forced Tom Brady out. Remember, when Tom Brady decided to depart from New England, word was all Bill Belichick had to do was say, I want you to stay, I don't want you to leave, and Tom Brady would not have gone anywhere. But because Bill Belichick refused to do that, to kiss the ring, because he had six of his own, just like Tom Brady, he was like, bump all of that. And as a result, Robert Kraft had to love Tom Brady enough to let him walk. And he let him walk, and he goes to Tampa Bay the very next year during COVID and all of that. And Tom Brady turns around his first year and wins the Super Bowl championship without Bill Belichick. Meanwhile, Bill Belichick, with Mac Jones and them, was struggling to be relevant and make the playoffs. And it nosedive even from there. So then you ultimately depart from New England because they need a new voice, a new everything in there, because the old days are gone when you had that 20-year run and Bill Belichick couldn't get a job. And then when he couldn't get a job, the man that never wants to speak to the media or anything was actually doing television. And then after that, he got an offer from the University of North Carolina. And when he got the offer from the University of North Carolina and expectations ballooned, all of a sudden he writes a book. He was getting maligned for that. His young girlfriend was in the picture escorting him to interviews and stuff. He was getting maligned for that. Then we finally get to focus on football. And when we focused on football, we literally see him in the head with the headsets on and the microphone asking his staff, what the hell is going on here? What are we doing? Because the North Carolina Tar Heels didn't look like they knew what the hell they were doing. And so they get a game, they get two meaningless wins, and then they go against UCF, they get blitzed, and then they go against Clemson last week and they get blitzed. And now people are looking at it and they're saying, damn, this is not going to end well. And if it doesn't end well in North Carolina, where's it going to end well for Bill Belichick? That's just bad. That's just bad. 888-MAD-DOG-6 is the number to call up. It's 888-623-3646. I got into that, and I'm going to get into some stuff about my New York Knicks and Giannis Antetokounmpo. I'll make sure to play some sound for y'all because there's some stuff that I want y'all to hear before I get to your phone calls and your voicemail messages at SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. That's SiriusXM.com/GetSerious. Again, your phone calls as well. 888-MAD-DOG-6. That's the number to call up right here on the Stephen A. Smith Show, SiriusXM, Mad Dog Sports Radio. Back with more in a minute.